Without you, it would not be the same. The Lord continue to bless you. I also would like to thank those who have joined us for the very first time, and not so very first time, especially a fellow worker in the same vineyard, Pastor Tim. Thank you for joining us today. I hope that the Lord will continue to bless your stay in Canada, whatever that would be. But the Lord brought us here today, and we are happy to have you come and join us today. I'd like to invite everyone to please turn back to our text this morning, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Which tells us Apostle Paul's exhortation to Timothy about the importance of biblical instruction in the midst of false teachers, opposition, persecution, and moral and spiritual decline. That is the context of this book. The theme is holding on to the truth, being firm. And these instructions are important and a very good introductory to our emphasis this month, which is concerning our Christian education. How we may continue not only to be involved in this area, but to go to another level. We are thankful that during this time, we will see the Christian Ed Department will be reorganizing even the Children Department. They will be putting them into a group or groups that is going to be wonderful group for them in order for them to learn best about the Word of God. I believe that will take place in the last Sunday of September. But at the same time, it is important for us as we have this drive to increase our support to our Sunday school and other Christian Ed Department in our church, all the way to the best years coming from the youngest in our church. It is our prayer that we will have a wonderful time this month. Our Sunday school is joined from all levels, my understanding. And thank you for those who have taken their time in joining us today. And we hope to see you next week. And to those who will be leading our Sunday school next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for how you have enabled us to be here today. And you have put together words that were taken from the book of 2 Timothy. We know that this is your gift for us today. Our desire is that you will sanctify us by your truth, that you will help your children to be able to grasp the beauty and the power of your word and what it says. And our prayer is that you will help us to be transformed as we renewed our mind, and as we offer our body as living sacrifice for our Lord Jesus Christ, that as we continue as your people in learning and in obedience, our lives will be like that of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. In our bulletin, it says on the first point that the biblical instruction affirms the reality of spiritual and moral status of the day. Where it says the phrase last days. What does it refer to? It is basically referring to the time from the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. That is the time frame in which you and I are in that time frame. That within this time frame, that there will be perilous times and perilous men, and it will continue, the intensity will continue to increase over time. I was amazed this morning, just before coming to the church, as in Canada, you would turn to cable 24 or channel 24 and to know what is the weather. And on the side, I see that there is something going on in Vatican today. For most of you, if not, you are not aware that there's something going on there that, with all due respect, Mother Teresa did a great humanitarian work, and I believe they're making her as a saint. If you're going to look at the pages of the Bible, how do we become a saint? When someone places his or her trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to do a miracle. You are a saint as far as the Bible is concerned. It's not for those who were dead. You and I are bombarded with so many subtle information out there that if we are not careful, we will be carried away by wrong doctrines. And that is one of the things why Apostle Paul was trying to instruct Timothy as a shepherd as he ministers in Ephesus, because of these things. And it is happening then, it is happening now. In our text from verses 2 to 5, we see 19 different characteristics that tells us these things, the bad things that are taking place during the last days. Of course, we also have our communion, so I will just be sharing with you some of the important highlights. Would you turn your eyes on verse 2 to 5, which says, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That is in the New King James Version. However, I like it the way it was rendered in the NIV, at least the beginning portion, where it says, mark this. You see, Apostle Paul was trying to warn Timothy to take heed of his instruction about the reality and the intensity of the society degeneration or the deterioration, as well as in the midst of religious teachers that opposes God, his standard, and his very own word. This verse tells us that there are some form of religion, and there is also some form of expression of love, which was used in a wrong way. Unbiblically. It says, rather than lovers of God, they became lovers of themselves. And they were lovers of money. And the Bible tells us that for the love of money is the root of all evils. We know that. And then it also says, lovers of pleasure. This tells us that this is selfie in a bad way. We know what the selfie is during these days. You have that stick. That takes points towards you. Me. Take me. Take a picture of me. It's me, me, me. And there are many scholars and many people who works, especially for statistics, and they're telling us that these days is a generation of selfie or selfish. I'm not saying they are everyone of our young people are like that, but they're just saying that there are more of selfish people today than yesterday. And it will continue to increase. The sad news is that there is always the temptation for us and the tendency to do likewise, to be self-centered. If we love ourselves, if we love money more than we should, if we love ourselves other than God, if we love pleasure, then there may be no more love for others and for the Lord, which
It is the opposite of what the Lord is telling us in His Word. Isn't it true that in Matthew and in other gospel books, that you are to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all of you and with all what you have? We have nothing anyway. And all of the things that we are, all of the things that we have is for the Lord. And we are to love the Lord. And the second to that is one. Does it say love yourself? No, it says love your neighbor as you love yourself. But that is not what the world is telling us. Now, in relation to this, since today is a communion Sunday, in addressing verses 2 to 4 and even all the way to 5, our covenant tells us a lot. And our covenant is basically from the Bible anyway. They are biblically based. This is what it says in our church covenant. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love. And that's the word together. It didn't say that we walk individually. It says together. And this is how expressed. It says we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer. You want to love someone, you start praying for that someone. If you be praying for someone every day, I'm sure you will end up loving the person. Well, actually, if you don't really love the person, you would probably not going to pray for this person anyway. It says to aid each other in sickness and distress, to give that telephone call, to pay a visit when someone is sick, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation. You see, it addresses verses 3, 4, and 5, that we become more loving, we become more forgiving. I remember one time when I visited a church in the Philippines, coming from missionary work, I attended a very nice church. Wonderful church. Great music. But the way I kind of observed, there seems to be not good communication between the team leader and the pianist. And I ask, are they okay? I love the way they started the worship service. Instead of, we are good in singing, welcome to the family. It's a family thing. But for them it's, and I love you with the love of the Lord. And here it is. The pianists in the praise team are not in good terms. But can you imagine at the end of the service, or in the service, there's someone who is sitting on this side and there's someone sitting on this side purposely because they don't want to look at each other because there's something going in between the two. Can we call that as a Christian love? That is why we say this again and again, and we take it to heart. Always ready for reconciliation. And that is the context of Christianity. Forgiveness and love. You cannot separate the two. True? Amen. Love is a powerful thing. It is a powerful thing. Especially when it's done the Lord's way. Now, in our covenant, it continues on to say, we engage to maintain family and secret devotion, to religiously educate our children. This portion is a good reminder for those who are parents. The value of Christian education at home. We will see that again in the later part of our text, especially on verse 14 and 15, when we shall see how the mother of Timothy and the grandmother had taken their time training this young Timothy at a tender age. parents were given a divine duty to hold Bible study at home, so that their children will not become like those in verse 2. You know, when children get to learn what the Bible has to say, when they get to learn the things that God is telling them to obey, what will happen is the opposite of verse 3, 4, and 5. They will become not self-centered. They will become thankful. They will become grateful. They will eat whatever's on the table. I don't like hot dog anymore. I'm having too much macaroni and cheese. And there are so many people out there. They don't have hot dog. They don't even have macaroni. They don't even have cheese. When children are trained accordingly, they begin to be respectful of others and authority. They will begin to address elderly in the right way. There is something in the Philippines that we grow up with. Whoever is older than us, we say po and opo. Maski galit nga, opo! It's true, because we get to learn. We get to learn. And then, children who are taught properly will be more obedient to their parents. Yes, children? Alright. And they will begin to obey civil laws. When you see it says 40, you drive 40. Yeah, drivers? When it says 50, yes, it is 50. I know that there is that 5 and 10 kilometers allowable. The police will let you go. But if you go more than 10, go on the highway and drive 120. I'm telling you, you're going to get it. You've been telling all this time, oh, I never get a ticket. But it doesn't mean you're a good driver. One day the police will get you. And I'm telling you, what a waste. You go to the bank, you have a ticket, you have a demerit as well. You have two pieces of $100, they give you $2 back. A toonie. That is what we could see from the Bible. And for those of you who has one of these, this is good, yes? Yes? We like telephone. This is good, but if you use this in the highway and on the street, it's gonna cost you $480, from my understanding. Used to be, huh? $490? Wow, I'll try. Wow, it has gone up. Can you imagine? And for those of you who uses bathers and blur, especially if you're traveling from the west on Blur Street, going this way, don't use this. You know why? There's always police. I've been seeing them as I come to the church when I go do office. They are not in the car. They are in the bike. And I could see them going because of this. You see, if we tell our children to obey and know what the Word of God says, they will obey the law. And they will be blessed. It's simple as that. Moreover, if you are well oriented to God's word, you're going to be able to know how to deal with false teachers. And there are examples in Timothy, actually. There are three sets of gentlemen who they oppose, they resist the word of God and the man of God. Just like on verse 69, when you see Jannes and Jambres. All the way back to Exodus chapter 7 to 9. These are the magicians of Pharaoh. When Moses turned the rod, of course, it wasn't Moses, it was the Lord, right? into snake, the magician did the same. When the water turned into blood, the magician did the same. When Moses brought out frogs, the magician did the same. They weren't able to do everything that Moses did, but they were at least able to counterfeit. And that is the problem. This is the scheme of the devil. He is a counterfeiter. A fake. Isn't it true that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that the devil masquerades like a what? Like an angel. This is what the devil been doing all this time. In many occasions, I was talking with Aryan people. And a lot of times they would say, oh, I have classmates. They're Christians. I'm glad they're Christians. And I said, so how do you know they are Christian? Well, you know, they tell me they go to church. They say that they are born again. Is that it? If someone tells you that I am a Christian, he is a Christian? If someone tells you goes to the church, is he a Christian? I was asking them, I said, why don't you just try at least to ask these questions? If they deny about God whom we serve, and if they deny that the Word of God is not the Word of God, then they are a fake. If they deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is God, with a capital G, as we see it in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and if they deny that Jesus Christ is not the sole Savior of the world, then that is questionable. That is not what the Bible has to say. If they say that they are a Christian, why don't you ask this? So when and how did you get saved? If they have no clue what the word saved means, then that could be a questionable again. How come you do not know what the word saved is? I'm not saying that all of these things will assure that you will find out whether this person or not, but at least it's a gauge. It's something for us to begin with. Whether, because at school, there's so many students and teachers that they will say that they are a Christian and they teach you otherwise. Isn't it true? Gutom na kayo? Wala na akong naririnig eh. Now, number two. Biblical instructions affirms the reality and the necessity of discipleship. Of discipleship. We see that on verse 10 to 13. Let me read at least 10 and 11. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. This is Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. The manner of my life, my purpose, my faith, my statement of faith, how I suffer, the long suffering, how I love, my perseverance, the persecutions and affliction that I went through, which happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Now, if you're going to look closely, that's where he met Timothy. We see that in Acts chapter 16. So therefore, Timothy knows exactly who Apostle Paul was. And when he was trying to tell him exactly all of these things, he's trying, don't you remember? We were together. And he was saying, Timothy, stay away from bad teachers. Stay away from bad company. There's nothing wrong with being or having friends. We need friends. We need non-Christian friends. If there is no non-Christian friends, then there is no mission field. But if we do what they do, nobody see the differences. And then there is another question. What kind of a Christian are you? And that is the case here. He was very bold in saying and including himself, didn't you know about my example? Didn't you realize the doctrine that I kept all these years? This is a tough and powerful exhortation to Timothy. What he was trying to say here, in another word, is this. Leading by example. That is the context here. Leading by example. And many times Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, in Thessalonians, in Philippians, in Hebrews, in Ephesians, Apostle Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me only. Follow me when I follow Christ. Don't follow me when I don't follow Christ. So the ultimate example is Christ. And one of the things that I was telling to those people who are into discipleship, don't make another you. You know, you do disciple someone and someone begin to copy what you do. They begin to pray how you pray. Don't copy. Remember, our example is not your disciple maker or whoever is your mentor is. Our example is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I should look like, and you and I should behave like, you know, the WWJD? What would Jesus do? It's Jesus is the focus of our discipleship. That is the context of this. And he was very transparent. He was telling to Timothy, you know my strength, you know my weaknesses. You know how much I eat. And you know how loud I snore. Don't hide. Be transparent. Remember, it is life to life. My life to your life to my life. Our model is not our life, but our model is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you can check out my doctrine. You know my doctrine, Timothy. From beginning up until now, you know that. You know that my messages and my my lifestyle, they agree. They do not contradict. This is exactly what Apostle Paul was trying to tell to Timothy, even in the first letter to Timothy in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, particularly on verse 12. Know your doctrine and your life. Make sure they are in tune. Walk your talk. And because you and I are Christian, you and I are following the Lord, make sure that you remember that there will always be opposition. When you go to school, when you go to work, in your community, in your family members, when you are a Christian, I'm sure there will be persecution at home, especially if you happen to be the youngest one in the family and you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am telling you, I know that. I am one of them. It's very hard to tell them, oh, you know what happened, Daddy? Mommy? I learned that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The other things that we were trying to do before, they're no good. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 tells us otherwise. And they will tell you, that's not. And then if they're at the beginning of, please don't go to debate. There will be opposition for sure. Don't go and debate. Just show them about the love of God which is in you. Let your life be the direction that leads to Christ. Because there are many out there who are, they like to enter into discussions that eventually you will never go anywhere anyway. But be respectful of other people. And finally, biblical instruction affirms the reality and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. That's what it says again and again in the Bible. It penetrates. It changes lives, and it should change lives. But the exhortation of Apostle Paul, since Timothy is now matured in Christianity, and now a leader of a church, serving in Ephesus, and know a lot of things about the Bible, but the exhortation remains to be this. He says, continue. Don't stop. The only way to defeat false and the devil's lies is to continue and to be well-versed in the Bible. Remember the story of Adam and Eve? The Lord gave them one simple command. You see that area? There's a fruit there. Don't eat. When you eat, you will surely die. And here comes the devil and throw them doubt. Begin to give questions. Did God says, really? God says, you will surely die. If they were able to memorize 2 verses, they would have been spared. That's why memorization of the Bible is very important. That was the problem of Adam and Eve, short memory. They doubted, they gave in to the devil, and ultimately they disobeyed the Lord. But thank God, God has a promise again and again in the Bible. God has given us solutions in the Bible. Please turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm positive that a lot of you have memorized this wonderful passage of Scripture. It was given to Joshua and to the people of God, where it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He commanded God's people to meditate, to memorize, to read, study, and ultimately obey in order to be successful. The Bible is really simple. It says, you obey God, there is blessing. You disobey God, there is cursing and punishment. That is what the Bible has to say, especially in the Old Testament. You will see that again and again. But Apostle Paul is saying, there is no stoppage. There shouldn't be stoppage. Timothy, if you want to be effective in the ministry, if you want to be able to bring more people to Christ, you need to be firm. You need to continue in the Word, because the Word, the Scripture, is inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It is from God. It's from the very mouth of God. We see that on verse 16. And it is useful. It is profitable for teaching, in learning, for rebuking, apologetics, reproaching someone for doing something wrong, for correcting when someone erred. Correct people when they went or have gone wrong. It is also good for training, mentoring, discipleship, cell group, Bible study, Sunday school. And I was saying, you know, during the summertime, when the weather is nice, it is so inviting between 10 and 11 to go at the front of our church where we can find 4 nice benches. Which a lot of people have forgotten to know that those 4 benches are designed to be used not during Sunday school. Some people thought, hey, it's good to sit down here. Oh yeah, sit down after the worship service and sit down after the Sunday school. That's why it is there for. It wasn't meant for you to sit on during Sunday school time. These pews are meant for Sunday school time. And the classroom downstairs, that's what it is for. But the bench out there, it is designed by the Lord, not for Sunday school. Inside here. Especially if you're a leader of a church. Can you imagine if you say you lead by example and you're a leader of a cell group, you're a leader of an auxiliary ministry of the church, and they can see you're running around during Sunday school? What kind of testimony people will see? Especially the children. You tell the children, go, okay, 3, 5, and 6 ages, yeah, this is your Sunday school. Then after that, you're talking to the usher. Let the usher do their work. And you go to your Sunday school. That's what it should be, isn't it? A lot of time in the foyer, during Sunday school time. If you are a visitor, it's fine, because, you know, we cannot really mandate them to come in and push them inside. But we encourage them to come, right? But if you're a member of this church and you're running around in the foyer and you're so loud anyway, you're talking about, especially when there's a Pacquiao by the night before. Sunday school is inside here, not in the foyer. The foyer is for our visitor. And we encourage them to come. And for parents, make sure that your home is a home for Bible study, for cell group, and all of those things. You are called by God to teach your children. It is great that there is cell group, there is Sunday school, there is a worship service, there are seminars and all of those things. Those are your support resources. They are not the it. The it is for you and me as parents. Oh, you may be saying, oh, I don't really know a lot from the Bible. Well, you don't have to be a scholar to teach. There are many simple materials to start with. And for those of you who want to learn more about Bible and learning more deeper in the Bible, there are online learning. We also have our Bible Institute, which will commence next Sunday. If you want to just an audit, which means you're just sitting there learning and doing the homework, doing exam if you want to, but you're just there as an audit, not as a regular student, you can do that too. We will let you have the material. Of course, it is not free because we have to buy it from the States. And there are many ways for us. I think it is time for us to increase our effort in this area. How about discipleship program? You know, it's important in our Christian life. We need, if you know a lot, if you know that you can be a teacher and you are willing to teach, then let us know. We will give you the opportunity. Of course, there's little training and little orientation. And there's also the police clearance, I mind you. In Canada, you need police clearance, especially if you're dealing with 16 years old and below, the handicaps, and the senior citizens. You need police clearance. But if you are willing to be involved, then you have to go through that. Again, remember the context of verses 2, 3, and 4, and 5? Follow the civil law. That is part of the law of the land. When we study the Word of God, we become obedient. Not only the setting where we are at, but most of all, is before the Lord. That is the context of the Bible. To know Christ, to become like Christ, to tell about Christ, and ultimately to obey God and to give Him the glory that He deserves. That is our ultimate goal. And the people of God says, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be reminded from your word again. The necessity to enter into this wonderful opportunity that you have for us to learn more about you and to be like you. We know, Father, that it will require the blessing of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who is in us, and also the strength of our Savior. As He had said, we cannot do anything apart from the blessing, the guide of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite Pastor Juby as he will be leading our Lord's table and also the fellowship of deacon and the men who will help him.
So let us proceed to our communion service at this moment. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 42 says,